planet Earth about to be recycled. Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of True Crime on Easy Street. Is this thing on?
We'll find out. Working.
Should we do a sound check?
I think we're doing one right now.
All right, hold then.
All right, we're good. We did a tiny, tiny, tiny sound check.
Nice, crisp sound.
Yeah. My name is Scott Wright. I'm a mediocre journalist.
Kelly Turner, not a doctor.
Katie Givens, not a lawyer.
So it's Sunday, March the 23rd, 2025, as we sit in the Easy Street True Crime Studio today.
Mm-hmm.
For the last time, for a long time, we are the only people on campus on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Starting next week, this week as you listen,
mm-hmm.
Easy Street will be open on Sunday for brunch.
That's true. Nice.
And on Monday, Shane's just going to leave this thing open 24/7. It's going to be like a Waffle House in there.
I don't think it's going to be 24/7. I think it's going to be 7,
That's
but
right.
There will be 7.
I'm usually sound asleep at 8 o'clock anyway, so it won't really make any difference.
So after we record, we could just go over and have brunch.
That's what I'm going to do next week, as you listen.
I can't wait.
I know.
Also, the crime that we're talking about, that we're talking about today, as you listen on Wednesday the 26th,
mm-hmm.
That is the day that an anonymous call was received to the San Diego Police Department. So how about
today's crime took place in San Diego? We timed it that perfectly.
We did.
Wow.
That is a total coincidence out there.
Even a blind squirrel will get a nut every now and then.
Something like that. Yeah. So do we have any shout outs that we would like to mention today?
I don't have any.
I don't think so.
I have one. It's for the guys at... Did I do this last week? I don't remember. I wrote it down to do it last week, and then I think I didn't. So if I did this last week when I was still a little hungover from the night before,
mm-hmm.
we can just delete it.
Okay, sure.
So I need to shout out the folks at Cherokee Family Healthcare. Okay. I went there for the first time a few weeks ago. I had some stiffness in my shoulder. I got a prescription. I saw everybody. Jessica is at the front desk. I think Gregory is the physician. Whatever that I saw.
Does he go by Greg? Gregory. Calling him by his full government name?
I called him Gregory.
Gregory?
Okay. That's okay. What it said on his name tag. Gregory. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I don't think he had a name tag on. But
okay.
Jessica called him Gregory. And I said, should I call him Gregory? And she said, I call him Gregory.
Okay,
I said, okay, I'm going to call him Gregory.
It is. All right.
So anyway, had a great experience there. That was my first time to visit our sponsor, Cherokee Family Healthcare.
Okay. Thank you for being a sponsor.
Yeah. So thanks, Connie and the gang.
Yes. You guys are great.
Very pleasantly surprised. Not surprised. I was very pleased with the experience.
Good.
Yeah.
You went in expecting to be pleased, and you were.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't go with a chip on my shoulder. Actually, technically, I did because it was stiffness in my shoulder that had me there in the first place.
They knocked it right off, huh?
Poof, gone.
Well,
good. Perfect.
So Kelly has her laptop in her lap.
Yeah. Hence the name.
Mm-hmm. And so she was telling us before we went on the air. Are we on the air?
We're on the
anyway,
air.
Anyway, before we recorded,
okay.
before we began recording,
mm-hmm.
she didn't really get her homework finished yesterday because she had a sinus headache.
Ugh.
And she's bitched and moaned about that for the last 10 minutes.
I have.
So now everybody else gets dragged down into my private hell.
That's right.
As you have to listen to what I've heard.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Anyway, that's all we have, I think, yeah. as far as the pregame ceremony goes. So.
Well, I'm feeling much better today, Scott. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, he was not one bit worried.
I was getting to that.
Were you?
Well,
yeah.
No, not really. Anyway, Kelly is in the big chair today.
Yep.
I'm a complete idiot.
And Scott has been on one all morning.
Yeah.
Been on what?
On one. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what you're on, but you've been...
I'm in a great mood.
You're full of it this morning.
I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
Both Scott and Kelly had a birthday last week, like we said.
Yeah.
So maybe it's Scott feeling just
it's feeling
old. I don't know.
Feeling a little older.
Feel a little froggy today?
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
If I'm leaping over something, it's something that's on fire. Otherwise, my feet are firmly planted on the ground.
Good for you.
All right, go.
As they should.
Hit it.
All right, so today we're going to talk about, you've already seen the title, the Heaven's Gate cult.
Is that the title?
Heaven's Gate, I guess
okay.
we'll call it that. And the the recording you heard before the intro music, that was a man by the name of Marshall Applewhite.
How's he doing?
Well, we're going to find out.
Okay.
Okay, so on March the 26th, 1997, an anonymous caller directed police to a mansion outside San Diego, where authorities soon discovered the largest mass suicide on U.S. soil. Lying under purple shrouds, the 39 deceased were dressed in identical dark clothing, wearing white Nike sneakers with $5 bills and rolls of quarters stuffed in their pockets. Over 2 days, they all had committed suicide by ingesting a toxic cocktail of phenobarbital and vodka. And some reports say that some of them mixed in some applesauce and some of them mixed in some pudding, but not all reports say that. But all reports say and vodka.
Okay. Was phenobarbital applesauce and pudding just for taste?
I mean, maybe. Probably easier to eat that way.
You don't want to go to the next level on an empty stomach, right?
I guess not.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that quite okay. a bit. Authorities will uncover videos located in the mansion containing the ramblings of Marshall Applewhite. He was the cult leader that was known as Doe.
Doe.
D-O, but like Doe. You know, Do-Re-Mi.
I think it's more like Dodo.
Mm. Other videos were discovered there containing interviews with the members of the cult saying their goodbyes. Now, how did one man convince 38 people to take their own lives?
That's a good question.
Good question. Let's take a look at Marshall. Marshall Herf, H-E-A-R-F-F, Applewhite. Marshall Herf Applewhite
okay.
was born May 17, 1931 in Spur, Texas. His father was a Presbyterian preacher, and their relationship has been reported as, quote, complicated. Mm. Applewhite seemed to lead a fairly normal life. He graduated from Austin College in 52, got married the same year, spent 2 years in the Army Signal Corps. Applewhite was known for his musical and dramatic talents. He sang opera and was a good public speaker. He is a good public speaker. I've spent this week watching lots of things and listening to a lot of recordings of yeah. Marshall Applewhite, and I'm quite exhausted from it. Yeah. But he is a very calm speaker, very eloquent speaker.
I guess you don't get to be in a cult leader without that.
I guess you yeah. don't. I wouldn't call him dynamic as a, you know, some of these other cult leaders were more dynamic speakers.
Like Hitler.
And, oof. And, and, you know.
Straight to the top.
And they're more, you know, animated. And I would say parts, I mean, his eyes are very animated. Mm-hmm. But his speech is very calm and just a little bit different than other cult leaders you hear talk. But he was a good singer and a good public speaker. In the early 1960s, he actually tried to make it as an actor in New York City, but that fell through. Mm. So when he left New York, he became an assistant professor at the University of Alabama.
Shut up.
Where he served as choir master for several groups.
What year was he there?
In the 60s.
Okay.
He then returned to Texas to head up the music department at a university in Houston.
So he was there before you?
Yes, before me. She said the 60s.
Were you in his choir?
I was just a toddler then.
I saw you doing some math over there, so I was making sure.
While in Houston, he and his wife divorced in 1968. Now, they did have two children together, but Marshall struggled with his sexual identity. This is a struggle that deeply troubled him, and that plays a big role in the reasoning and the way he did things once he established the cult. In 1970, he left his job. Marshall's mental state is going to start deteriorating. Mm-hmm. He's really spiraling. He checks himself into a hospital after a while, after, you know, he realizes this, there's some issues going on, and he meets a nurse there, and her name is Bonnie Lou Nettles. And the meeting of the two is very interesting. The fact that he's in the hospital for, back then, a nervous breakdown.
What I call a midlife crisis.
And she's a nurse there.
Yeah.
And the two of them are going to join together and start this cult. So okay. That's, I found it really interesting how they met. You would think that Bonnie Lou would not be in the same place that Marshall was, mm-hmm. being yeah. the employee there, but they were both experiencing a spiritual crisis at the time that these two meet. They strike up a conversation, kind of get to know each other. They become fast friends.
Hey, you want to start a cult?
Eventually, they kind of got to that conversation. I don't know how you get to that.
I don't know how you broach that topic. I think you just say it.
They did. Now, Nettles was going through a divorce, and Applewhite at the time was an evangelical Christian, and he felt like God was calling him to a new vocation. So, you know, the evangelical Christians, you know, you probably saw them when you were in college.
Mm-hmm.
They were on the corner. They were yelling at you. They yes. had the signs. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they were. I hated.
The end is near.
I hated walking by them on my way to class
yeah.
because I just walked straight. I didn't want to really talk to them. And I mean, I consider myself, I'm a Christian,
mm-hmm.
but evangelical Christian is different.
Yeah.
And more in your face, and I didn't get a good feeling every time I passed by them, is right. what I'm trying to say.
But we're also, you know, Southern, so you don't want to be rude. So, and it feels rude right. to be ignoring someone. Yeah.
Ignore
there,
somebody.
But I
especially
understand completely.
When they're talking about God, yes. you're like, I really want to, you know,
just
be
give
nice.
Them a peace and out and keep going.
I just would smile and wave, yeah. you know, thank mm-hmm. you. And while they're telling me I'm going to hell, and yeah. I'm, thank you, and move on.
Yeah.
But the Nettles and Applewhite, let's say Marshall and Bonnie, because they're eventually going to get different names here
okay.
soon. But the okay. two became spiritual soulmates. And Bonnie claimed that she could communicate with angels and spirit guides. And she also practiced astrology and yoga.
Okay.
Now, Marshall read the Bible quite a bit, but he focused on one book. And that was the book of Revelation.
Checks out.
If you're, yes, if you're going to read the Bible and you have not read the Bible, I don't recommend starting.
Don't start at the end.
Revelation. That's yeah. heavy, heavy reading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're constantly reading it and saturating yourself with the book.
Of it, Revelation.
It could cause some issues. And that's what Marshall is already a troubled mind, we'll say.
Yeah.
And he's just saturating himself with mm. the book of the Bible that foretells the end of the world. Mm. So they refer to themselves as the two. Now, let me get on a soapbox just for a second. For those of you who enjoy posting on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
two is spelled multiple ways.
Thank you.
T-O.
Yeah.
T-O-O.
Mm-hmm.
And T-W-O.
Yeah.
We are talking about T-W-O yeah. right now because we are talking about the number of people.
Not one, not three.
Two.
Two.
Thank you. All right, off my soapbox. The two, as they often called themselves, decided that in the Bible, when it's talking about God, Jesus, angels, what it actually means, extraterrestrials.
Okay.
Which is a superior race of aliens.
That's one way to go.
Who appeared to us as gods. And in the last days, these aliens will arrive in their spaceship. They're going to destroy or recycle, as mm. you heard him say in the
yeah.
beginning, the earth
oh.
and save the faithful who were ready to, quote, graduate to the next level.
This sounds like, what is that series on HBO that's no longer with us? I mean, it's over. Oh, The Leftovers.
The Leftovers?
You know,
okay.
when a certain percentage of the world magically disappears all at once, and mm-hmm. and it changes the lives of everyone who
oh,
remains.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a weird show.
Yeah. Very weird.
It
but
was.
Good.
It was a good
I think
show.
Three seasons of that. Sorry, go ahead.
It was a good show.
Yeah. Never saw it.
So Bonnie and Marshall came to believe that they were two witnesses that were talked about in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, who would testify and teach on earth before the final judgment. Now, according to this prophecy, these two witnesses would be killed and resurrected. Now, they're going to say that they're not going to be killed by magic, or they're resurrected not by magic or a miracle,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually going to be extraterrestrial technology. When the Bible referred to Jesus ascending to heaven in a cloud, Bonnie and Marshall said that the cloud was really a UFO, and the UFOs were their salvation. Now.
All right.
Okay. You're with me still?
So far, but I'm what I'm hearing is that they're going to feed this line to 37, some number of other people before this all comes to a crashing conclusion?
Yes.
Okay.
Marshall and Bonnie spent months on the road. They wandered around the country. They believed that their higher calling allowed them to ignore the laws of the earth. And they were arrested for credit card fraud in 1974. Now, these charges are dropped, but then Marshall gets 6 months in prison because he rented a rental car in St. Louis and never returned it.
You can't do that.
No, you can't do that. So he does his time.
So
and
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. So while he's in prison,
I think that's probably the charge.
Yeah, I think it is.
He began, maybe in 1974, I don't think that law would have changed. He does his time. But while he's in prison, he begins to redefine his beliefs. He starts, okay, let me just really get my mind straight. Okay.
He's got
what
time to think.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. He's got 6 months of nothing to do.
He does. And he and Bonnie determined during this time that they actually came from a term that is called level above human. This is a physical and literal version of heaven in outer space. That they are saying that they came from this level.
Okay.
Okay. And they were sent here on Earth to help other people reach this next level.
All right. I'm starting to see a business plan.
To them, the human body was a vehicle that ascended from this world. And you had to separate yourself from your human body, from yourself, and from your earthly needs and desires. In order to make that ascension, you must separate yourself from anything that would make you human.
That doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
It really doesn't. In the videos that you see, the people from the house, you see them smiling and laughing and cooking together and putting on a talent show. And, you know, they seemed happy in the videos, but they did, you know, always, they always knew their eyes would dart and they knew where Marshall was in these videos. So some people say the videos are only showing you one part of it. We'll never know. We will never know.
Yeah.
We do have some testimony from some survivors, and I'll get to those in just a moment.
Yeah, I'm curious
to give you a little bit of insight of what was going on.
Somebody left and went to the grocery store and came back, and shit, they left without me.
No, it was not that. Okay. So we talked about the human body is just this vehicle, and you know, we got to separate ourselves. They believed that a UFO would soon take them back to the next level after they completed their mission. Okay. In 1975, Bonnie and Marshall were they were in the spiritual scene. They were the people to know in the spiritual scene in 1975 in California and Oregon.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
They opened a New Age store. They began offering classes where they would share their message. Their message was this. This earthly life was an intermediate realm where we learn to battle evil or bad aliens, transcend our human bodies, and transform into perfected beings.
I wonder if they had a pet rock.
I don't know.
That was big in the 70s.
And they had initially attracted 20 followers after a meeting in Oregon. And they start to catch the attention of the news. They were the subject of a book in 1976 that was called UFO Missionaries Extraordinary. I'm not sure if they were trying to make fun with that title or what they were doing.
I have a suspicion.
Yeah. But that was the name of that book. And so they started sending their followers out to talk to people, and they began to keep a low profile because they just didn't like the media coverage and the negative, they didn't like being made fun of, mm-hmm. and the scrutiny yeah. and all of that. So they started sending their followers out to recruit. Now, they continued to receive more revelations and visions and hear voices and came to believe that they themselves were aliens who had been sent to Earth to prepare humankind for the end. This is when they are going to change their names to Doe and T. So, Marshall is Doe,
yeah.
and Bonnie is T.
Got it.
And the class, that's what they called, it's going to devolve into a more reclusive and isolated setup. So the members are now going to be encouraged to separate themselves from their families and friends, be celibate, and wear special clothing that is modeled after Star Trek uniforms.
Okay.
They copied things from other religious practices. They had rituals, prayers. They talked about the end of the world a lot, what would happen after death, and what is the meaning of life. So they pondered a lot of things that other people ponder.
Sure.
Mm.
The group eventually recruited 200 members.
Wow.
And Doe and T are going to begin to weed out their followers. They're going to only keep the most dedicated and obedient members because we've got some rules and you must follow them.
Yeah.
And we make the rules, and as we get different visions, the rules may change.
When I say go make a pot of coffee, I mean go make a pot of coffee.
And I don't want any lip.
Yeah.
Okay. So they spent several years living at campsites and making sure that everybody was busy doing different tasks for the group. That's pretty standard cult. This is cult 101.
Sounds like it.
Separate yourself from your friends and family. Mm-hmm. Listen to what I tell you. Do what I tell you without question.
Yeah.
That's pretty much, yeah. And they're also going to give them tasks to do that's going to try to curb their human nature. And a lot of people believe that they mixed all of this in because Marshall, again, that struggle with his sexuality.
Right.
And so the whole, you got to be celibate. You can't... You know, they would, they did not condone drinking, smoking, and sex. And they would usually eat, they would have unusual diets or just different things.
This is sounding like less and less fun.
Mm-hmm. They even, some of the male members, including Marshall, even were castrated.
Ah, I was afraid you were going to say that.
Yeah, that's the and so we know what that means, right? When you're castrated.
Okay. You see me sitting with my legs crossed.
Yeah. It's so some people think that that they cut everything off, but it's not. It's just the testicles. So
yeah.
You know, I don't know if that makes you feel any better.
Not
but,
much.
Okay, well,
but just, I knew that.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that was the thing where Jim Jones, comparing him to Jim Jones, Jim Jones didn't do a lot of the things that he had his followers doing.
Right. Yeah.
Marshall's all in.
There is definitely a difference.
Doe has castrated himself,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't do it to himself.
Jim Jones
went
was a criminal. He was the guy at the top of the pyramid scheme.
Uh-huh.
This guy.
He kidnapped all these people and took them somewhere else.
And was abusing several of them.
Holding them at gunpoint.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this guy just found
this guy's all
38
in.
More nuts.
And there's no reason to believe that Marshall Applewhite doesn't believe everything
yeah,
he's saying.
That's what I'm saying.
In listening to him talk, he is 100% sold. He's 100% all in. Lying and breaking the rules were considered major offenses. Uniformity was key. They all wore baggy clothing. They had short haircuts that all looked the same. The idea was to be pretty much gender neutral.
Okay.
No, we all look the same. We wear the
baggy
clothes.
Because we're not having sex anyway. It doesn't make any difference.
No.
Mm-mm. Right.
We're not males and females. We're just... We're
peeps.
We're using this human body vessel until we can get to the next level.
Got it.
They actually never called themselves Heaven's Gate. I mean, they do. That ends up being their website's name.
Okay.
But that when they refer to themselves, they call themselves the class and refer to each other's classmates.
Okay.
Even the survivors who do interviews call the other members classmates. But they were originally called the Human Individual Metamorphosis, or HIM.
Huh.
And that was given, that was the name given by Marshall.
Okay.
And then eventually, again, as I said, when they set up a website to put all their teachings out, it was Heaven's Gate. Mm-hmm. Bonnie and Marshall, or Doe and T, T and Doe, is that right? Were seen as teachers.
Yeah.
And then the people in the class were students. Let's keep it simple, guys. It's a class. I'm a teacher. You're a student. You're classmates.
Here, drink this.
Keep it simple, right? Yeah, right? Yeah. Right. In the 1980s, the group moved indoors. They rented houses in different areas of the Dallas suburb area. They started getting jobs in the outside world. They would use fake names. And one member in an interview with NBC said that she did not speak for 4 years. That was one of the rules in the home. It wasn't that all of them couldn't speak. It was just some.
Is this a female?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it.
She, Scott.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry. She says you. Ah. She did not speak for 4 years. And then when they started sending them out to get jobs under fake names, she got a job as a waitress, and while she was out in the real world, realized, I don't want to do this anymore.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
And she got out.
Okay.
And apparently there was no, they didn't go after her, they didn't, or that she reported.
Right.
You know, they didn't try to get her back in. She just left. And
so this isn't Scientology where they come after you?
No.
Okay.
Marshall didn't seem to, you know, once you were in
was that
the
too
home,
much?
You were going to listen to
it. Is Tom Cruise coming after me now?
Probably. They'll probably sue you.
Great.
So they would be all obedient in the household, but it would seem that when people ended up leaving, they just left.
Well, it seems like there's a hole in Do-Re-Mi's plan here when he lets people go out into public and interact with the rest of society.
Mm-hmm. But you got to earn money.
I get it, but maybe they should just rob banks.
Maybe. As you know, we've already determined they are not bound by earthly laws.
Yeah.
So
what's
probably,
that to
he
them?
Probably doesn't want to go back to prison.
Yeah, I think that's.
But he can send his flunkies.
He could have, yeah. But obviously, some of them got jobs under fake names and just were supporting the cause. The members are from various different walks of life, as usually cult members are.
Yeah.
One guy was from a very wealthy family, wealthy businessman. It was so strange to see the different followers. One was a brother of an actor from Star Trek. And one was a lady mother, of married mother, and saw some of their videos online and left her family and went.
Wow.
And moved in with them.
Okay.
Just really, I think the youngest member was 25, and he was previously in the Army. And that's really all I know about him. He's in the exit videos. Mm-hmm. And you can watch all of these videos I've mentioned online. You can see them talking, and some of them tear up. Mm-hmm. It's really disturbing because when they're talking about what they're about to do, some of them cry, some of them get teared up, and then you hear Marshall on the other side of the camera, and he's consoling, he's encouraged. Why do we do this?
Okay.
You know? And talking them through it, they're using the same language Marshall uses. They make a point to say, I'm doing this of my own free will.
Mm-hmm.
And just certain things that he says all the time. The earth is about to be recycled.
Right.
We're, you know. It was really strange that they ended the way that they did. And I promise I'm going to get to that. But because they published a lot of things out on their website about against suicide, against it's so contradictory to their end. It's strange.
All right. Well,
and it didn't make sense.
Is there something that changes in their demeanor that you haven't gotten to yet?
Oh, yes, there
okay.
is.
All right.
Okay, so that was a good question. But first, there's a few other things that happened. In 1985, Bonnie, or T, is going to die of cancer.
Mm. Oh.
And Marshall is going to take this very hard. And he's going to struggle to get a foothold on the group. Now, by the late 1980s, he is going to find his footing again. And he's going to talk about the imminent end of the earth. Now, Marshall believed that the government was allied with the media and corporate interest to hide the truth from the people. That is a quote from a book written about Heaven's Gate. I'll reference it here in just a moment and make sure you can, you know, if you want to look it up and read it. The author goes on to say that they believed that, quote, space aliens are real and that the government is working with bad aliens known as Luciferians.
Hey, why not?
So you see the parallels between the Bible and the Christian Bible and his beliefs. So it's almost like you took certain parts of the Bible, maybe Revelation, and you meshed it with sci-fi.
Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where, and not as, it's different than Scientology in certain ways, but it does have that sci-fi aspect.
Yeah. I would love to say this is the craziest religion I've ever heard of, but that is not true.
Yeah.
In the early 1990s, Marshall posted his first online writings. He's going to have some message boards, and that's when he puts up the Heaven's Gate website. And he's trying to reach out to more members, and he does secure some members that way.
I want to go to the, you know, you guys know there's that website, I think it's called the Wayback Machine, where you can type in a website address and pick a day, a month, a year, and it will, all that information is stored out there.
Oh, wow.
In the world.
Nice.
So you can go back and see what
yeah.
that website looked like in, what'd you say, 1992?
It was, it just is the early 90s, okay. so probably
yeah.
around 92, you could, and it, his papers that he's putting up online are all about preparations for the Earth's recycling. I'm not sure where we get recycling, other than
well,
maybe
if,
the 90s is when it started, the whole recycling thing started.
Yeah, that's that could have Earth Day.
I don't know.
I get it. I guess if you're thinking about if you believe the story about the flood, you know, that was sort of a cleansing.
Cleansing
a recycling. So
yeah,
I guess that's
could be.
He's thinking laser beams this time, I guess. But
he never, or what I've listened to, he never goes into detail about how the Earth's going to be recycled.
Well, how would he know?
It just, I don't think he puts that on himself that he had to explain that.
They've got some sort of magic ray gun.
I think he felt like he did explain it. It's going to be recycled, and if you want to survive, then you have to.
Yeah.
And literally the fact that he says survive,
yeah,
it's very bizarre.
Yeah,
the group made a series of videos called Beyond Human, The Last Call. And these videos contained information about the group, the next level. This was, again, in the early 1990s. They broadcast this via satellite. They took out ads worldwide. They actually had a headline in USA Today in 1993 that said UFO cult resurfaces with final offer. The final offer.
Huh.
And then, so all this is, we're spinning and spiraling and we're just.
He's distraught over his dead other half. He's got one foot out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I taking with me?
And on July 23rd, 1995, Alan Hale and Thomas Bopp discovered a comet. And we'll talk about that after a word from our sponsors.
Hello, Cherokee County. If you are looking for a health option where the staff makes you feel like family, then you don't have to look any further than Cherokee Family Healthcare.
Cherokee Family Healthcare treats patients of all ages with emphasis on personalized care. Call 256-266-1021 to schedule an appointment or just walk right into the office at 819 West Main Street in Center. That's right across from the post office. If you're not feeling well, do that and let them get you returned to good health.
They offer primary care health services, urgent care, DOT physicals, weight loss, IV hydration. You can get same-day appointments and walk-ins are welcome. Like I said, just give them a call at 256-266-1021. They're at 819 West Main Street in Center. That's like kind of right across from the post office.
Right across.
You can't miss it.
Katie and Kelly, let me tell you guys a quick story. Recently, I was dining at Easy Street, and I met a man who told me that he and his wife are planning to retire soon to the Weiss Lake area from out of state. I told him that the best person for him to call to help him find a home in the area is Greg Oliver. Greg is the owner and broker at Go Realty. And if you're like the man that I met who is thinking of moving here, or if you're looking for property or a home anywhere in Northeast Alabama or Northwest Georgia, you should call Greg Oliver at 256-504-3847. Greg has a full list of waterfront, residential, commercial, farm, and investment properties, and he is ready to help you find exactly what you're looking for. Greg has 25 years of experience in the real estate market, and you can see a complete list of his current properties by visiting gregoliverweisslake.com. So visit the website or call Greg at Go Realty today. The number is 256-504-3847.
Hey, true crime fans. It's time to start planning your 2025 summer vacation. And why not take it right here in Cherokee County, Alabama?
We have a ton of things to do here in Cherokee County. You can wet a hook in Weiss Lake, swing away at Cherokee Pines Golf Club, take in the breathtaking views at Cherokee Rock Village, hike the National Preserve at Little River Canyon, enjoy an all-day splash at Pirates Bay Water Park, and there's so much more.
The Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism has a full list of lodgings, RV sites, kayak rentals, and campgrounds, and they're all anxious to meet your vacation needs, whatever they may be.
So come stay with us this summer from wherever you are. Plan your Northeast Alabama summer staycation by visiting cherokee-chamber.org.
We hit some buttons. We think we're back. Kelly, we were in the middle of a story about a spherical body in the universe.
A comet?
That's it.
Okay, so as I said, in July of 1995, Alan Hale and Thomas Bopp discovered a comet. Comet Hale-Bopp was formerly known as C/1995-01.
I like the new name better.
Hale-Bopp sounds better, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It was a long-period comet that was one of the most widely observed of the 20th century and one of the brightest seen for many decades. Now, that comes from International Comet Quarterly. They have a website. You can go to it.
All right.
It reads much like a stereo manual. I'm not smart enough to read through it a whole
so
lot.
So is this, in the history of this comet, is this the first time it's ever been seen?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they just determined.
They found it through telescopes, but it is going to become visual to the naked eye. Okay. And it's 1,000 times brighter than Halley's Comet.
Okay. Oh, that's a pretty bright.
Do you remember Hale-Bopp?
Yeah, sure.
I remember standing out in my driveway and seeing it, and it just stood up there in the sky.
Yeah.
It was really bright.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool to see. It was visible to the naked eye for a record of 18 months due to its massive nucleus size.
Wow.
So I remember seeing it. You could see the tail. It just kind of sat there.
Yeah.
It was weird because I kept looking up thinking I'm going to be able to see it moving.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't. It just was up there
in
the sky. Now, Marshall is very interested in this comet.
Okay.
He saw it as a sign that a spaceship was coming to take them to the next level. Mm. This is my sign. All of these things I've been saying, turns out I'm right.
Mm.
There's the comet. There's the spaceship.
And that's what people like him have done for thousands of years. When a comet suddenly appears in the sky, I've been telling you this.
Mm-hmm. Here it is.
There's the sign.
Here it is. By 1996, when the comet was visible to the naked eye, the group was operating a successful computer business and lived in an exclusive neighborhood in Rancho Santa Fe, California. They lived in a mansion, but there was a lot of them living there.
Mm. Yeah.
They had different sleeping schedules. They had sleep in three to a bed. Ooh. There were, you can see the footage going through the mansion and see how some bunk beds were set up.
I remember bunk beds.
In different rooms. There was someone who was just laid out on a table, just a regular the table you fold out.
Yeah.
And all of the beds were made, meticulously made. There was a computer room. There were beds in the computer room.
Mm-hmm.
There was a butler's pantry. There was beds in there. There's 39 people living there.
Yeah.
Or actually, technically, 40, maybe. We'll kind of get to that. So they made more videos encouraging others to leave with them, saying it was, quote, the last chance to evacuate Earth before it's recycled, end quote. As the Hale-Bopp comet drew closer to Earth in 1997, Marshall and his followers prepared to make their exit from this world. On March the 21st, 1997, they ate a last supper of sorts at a restaurant, all ordering the same thing, turkey pot pie, cheesecake with blueberries, and iced tea. They all ate the same thing.
Well, that's no fun.
That is a terrible last meal.
It sounds fine, but it's a very odd choice.
Who picks turkey pot pie as their last meal?
Not me. My last meal, BLT on toast.
Okay.
Birch chili.
And Burns chili from Waffle House.
The Waffle House. That's my last meal. If I get to pick.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm down with the cheesecake.
Yeah, I'm okay.
That sounds
with that.
Delicious. Mm. But I'm not I don't know, turkey pot pie.
Where
I guess
you get turkey pot pie? What do they do? Go to Denny's?
They went to some local diner and they came in all dressed the same. And they all ordered the same thing. And they ate.
And you know, the one waitress and the one cook in the back went, oh, shit, here they are again.
Well, and they.
We got about to make 39 of something.
Well, they didn't, they didn't bring, they never brought problems when they came. You know, the Manson crew, they were chaos when they came somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They were all
singing and dancing, jumping around, acting like a bunch of idiots.
And just causing ruckus.
Yeah.
This group didn't do that. They came in all dressed the same. They were quiet. They were cordial. They did talk amongst themselves, had a nice, enjoyable meal. And they left.
Yeah, but still, if it's not a football team, there's no reason for 39 people to be wearing the same thing.
That is a red flag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By March the 25th, 1997, all 39 of them were dead.
Mm.
What they did, as I said, they took they had a cocktail of the phenobarbital.
You got it that time.
Vodka. Yeah. And like I said, I'm not sure if they mixed it with applesauce or pudding. Some reports say that, some don't.
If you need vodka pronounced again, just
vodka.
Get it to me because I order it every day.
You know how to do that.
So I know exactly how to pronounce that word.
So they were all wearing black pants, white Nike shoes. They had this purple drape over their heads, had bags over their heads, and they were laid out all on their backs. I think I saw one body in the footage where the police are walking through that was kind of turned on its side a little bit, but most of them were lying flat, arms on their stomach, purple. You don't see any of their heads. You just see their...
What if they were right about the whole thing?
Mm.
And the one thing that you had to do was fall asleep on your back with your hands on your chest. And this one idiot didn't.
I don't know, and Scott.
They're like, hey, buddy, sorry, you're on your side.
I don't know. But quickly in the news, they were named the suicide cult by the reporters.
Not and very then, creative, but accurate.
And, right. And then Benjamin Zeller referred to them as spiritual seekers. And this is his book that I've referenced during this podcast today, Heaven's Gate, America's UFO Religion. And he does, I think, a really good job of trying to get into the psyche of Marshall Applewhite and Bonnie Nettles and the followers.
Yeah.
And he tries to, he doesn't take it from a very harsh standpoint. It's very matter of fact, but he's not brutal or sarcastic or cruel. He just, it's a really good account of these spiritual seekers. That's what he called them. They were scrutinized by the media, even becoming the punchline of comedians' jokes and even SNL, which included a skit with Will Ferrell as Marshall Applewhite just 3 days after this happened.
I'm sure that was not over the top at all.
I watched it.
Yeah.
And it's...
over the top.
Will Ferrell does a great job of being Marshall Applewhite. Okay. I'll say that. He nails it. They also did a shoe commercial with actual footage of the bodies, focusing in on their Nike shoes, and the commercial was for kids, and it said kids, worn by level-headed Christians. All of this 3 days after happened. Yeah, wild. That was 90s humor,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. People in the 90s, this wasn't, I mean, it was shocking to some people, but.
Yeah, we said earlier, tragedy plus time equals comedy, to which Katie replied.
There's no time here.
There's no time here.
Wait long enough. Right, right. Yeah. So they were all over the media. I remember this. I remember seeing pictures of Applewhite on the news. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, when you see his eyes first.
Yeah.
You go back to the quote at the beginning of our podcast. And his first two words in it, planet Earth. He wouldn't even get Earth out till I would have been, I'm out.
Yeah, if you call it planet Earth, I'm done.
Well, because of the eyes, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, okay, I'm done.
I can see how he did not have hundreds or thousands
right.
of followers.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get past that bad first impression. Yeah.
And it is very fascinating to me how he was able to do that. And again, if you listen to him, he's a calming speaker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't... I would say his eyes are just as wild and chaotic as Charles Manson's eyes.
Oh, yeah.
But he does not jump around.
Yeah, he's not pounding the podium.
Right, like Manson did.
Right.
He's just simply calmly speaking.
Mm.
And basically what you heard at the beginning, that for every video that you see right. him in. Now, let's go back to the anonymous caller. Who called it in and called in this wellness mm-hmm. check. This is how they found the bodies. The anonymous caller was Rio D'Angelo, a surviving member who left the group after 3 years and was to stay behind and tell the world about the group's story. He says, I was always looking for answers, looking for purpose in my life. I loved these people and it meant everything to me. And this is an interview that he gives with Diane Sawyer in 1997. We lived like we were living in a monastery. We were all celibate individuals looking forward to self-advancement. I tried to get a job and people would not hire me because they thought I was part of some crazy thing. And so that's really a matter of choice for me to get along with my career, my life, just so people would not look at me. It's not about me, you know. That's him kind of.
Okay.
Talking in the, anyways, he chooses to get out of
and they let him leave
cult. And they did those
just
two.
Hey when we're gone tell everybody about us
right. And at the time of the article that they did on him, this was an article at the 25 year mark back in 2022.
Okay.
He was a retired art director and he had since reunited with his mother and focusing, spending time with his granddaughter. So he had gotten back in with his family that he had isolated himself from, and it was a good thing for him, definitely. He says, I'm a regular guy. I'm trying to be more of myself and a better person in every way that I can be. So he's just trying to live his life and be a better version of Rio every day.
Nothing wrong with that, I guess.
No, nothing wrong with that. So... that is the Heaven's Gate cult. The guy in the who wrote the book, mm-hmm. Zeller says you don't. He doesn't call them a cult. I do. Kelly calls them a cult.
Right?
Does he have a reason he doesn't call them a cult?
He says if you call them a cult, then you have to call
any religion
a cult. But here's something. Okay. What they did was they tried to recruit new members.
Mm-hmm.
They isolated themselves, encouraged you to, you cut off your family, you cut off your friends, you only associate with us, you have the same haircut, you wear the same clothes. Now, some people argue and say, well, some forms of religion do that. And I would argue and say their mission is different. If you're a nun, you're reaching out to other people. You're helping orphans. You're feeding hungry. You're doing this. They're not doing any of these things. They're also, nuns are not necessarily cut off from their family and friends. They can still do that. Mm-hmm. I would say the red flag comes in when you can only associate with the people in this group. And that's what makes them different than some religions, not all. But I would encourage people to ask themselves, this group that I'm a part of, whether it's religion or whatever it is, am I being encouraged to shut out my family and friends, only socialize with these people, and only do the same things that these people are doing? That's your first red flag.
That's the first three.
And you should and you should really take a hard look at what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I justify it. But I can totally see how people say you could call other religions.
So they drank the Kool-Aid.
The phenobarbital.
Sorry.
And vodka.
Because the comet was a sign.
The comet was, there was a spaceship that coming behind the comet to take them home, them to the next level.
So when we kill ourselves, the spaceship is going to fly down.
That's how
beam us up, Scotty. And then, poof, we're off to the next plane, the next level of existence, whatever. That's what they thought.
Yeah, we're leaving this earthly vessel and, I guess, floating up to the... to the alien spacecraft.
Okay.
And then that's where we will.
And they will.
That's our next level.
Incarnate us, us.
I don't know.
Recycle.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
He just talked about getting to the next level.
Yeah.
He didn't talk a whole lot about, in what I saw.
Yeah, he doesn't have specifics. He hadn't been there yet. Mm-hmm. He'll figure it out when he gets there.
You know, the culmination of the X-Files, according to the final movie, was that mankind sorry, it's been 25 years. but Katie hasn't seen it.
No.
But that was the culmination of the entire thing was that aliens had planted human life on this planet millions of years ago, and all of the spaceships that we see in the sky or that people report seeing are just them checking up on us.
Just doing a check-in.
Yeah, seeing how it's going down here.
Mm-hmm.
So...
strange. I do, you know, when we talk about suicide, it is good practice to put this clause in. If you or someone you know is experiencing suicidal thoughts, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline provides 24/7 free confidential support. Call 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255 for help.
Yeah, so we should always make sure and do that.
Always make sure and put that in there. That is it. That's Heaven's Gate.
That was good. I like it. I mean, you basically did it on a dare because 2 weeks ago I said, let's don't do this crap. And here you are with it.
I said,
but that was okay.
Message received.
Yeah, I thought that I knew more about that story than I did.
Yeah, same.
How about having an Alabama tie?
That's great.
I cannot believe it.
I know. I couldn't either.
We've got some, you know, you mentioned earlier about a 25-year-old former Army soldier who might be a little bit off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about one of those.
Oh, my.
Soon.
Okay.
On this podcast.
We'll get ready for that.
All right, guys. Let us know what you think about today's episode by reaching out to us on our social media platforms. You can visit us on Facebook. You can go to our website, truecrimeoneasystreet.com. You can leave us an email at truecrimeoneasystreet@gmail.com. Say something nice about us or keep it to your fucking self. Is that it, guys? Are we done?
We're done.
Good night, everybody.